It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. And today, we've got a treat, man. This is going to be straight fire. We got Ray GQ up in the house. We're going to give some audio love, spit the love letter for Najee Harris today. Man, I'm not even going to, a lot of people out there going to tell you, if you don't know about this dude, y'all already know about this dude. There ain't no way in hell you are not already following this man at Ray GQ on Twitter. Ray, what's going on, man?
Man, what's going on, big dogs, man? I'm excited to talk to y'all. You know, we've been going back and forth over the show for shit. It feels like 2 weeks now, but I'm here. Fade the Chalk, one of the best damn podcasts on the planet. And we're going to talk about one of the best running backs. Listen, he's the best running back in 2021. And I think right now he's one of the best fantasy bets at the running back position. And I know we'll get to that later, but I'm pumped, baby. I'm pumped.
Dude, this is going to be straight fire. Adam, are you ready to sit here and get this thing lit? I mean, it's going to go off.
Yes, as soon as we got this rolling and we had this planned, I was stoked. Because Harris is such a fun prospect and Ray's obviously been doing crazy stuff all over. You got it, like he's got, what is it, Ray, like 5 or 6 prospect profile videos on FTN and of course on the YouTube channel Destination Devi. You did a video on Harris, and I feel like you just were smiling the whole time, bro. I watched it. Like, I feel like you were just smiling the whole time.
Look, I try to be very objective, right? I really do. I try my best to be objective and give everybody is the most complete information I possibly can. But when you're talking about a player like Najee Harris, there's not much not to smile about, man. I mean, the dude is phenomenal. He's got everything that you're looking for in a running back. And for us, when you're talking about scoring fantasy points, bringing home them titles, Najee Harris is a dude that has the potential to do just that right out the gate. So, hell yeah, I was smiling the whole time. He's that good.
Ray, like, you are all places and every place is like, you're rocking videos for FTN. I see you all in the podcast streets. If people, I know I sit here and gave some shade, like, if people are not following you and all that kind of stuff. Dude, before we get rolling with all this Najee Harris love, tell people where they can find all of your fantastic content, man.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, if you want the rookie profiles, you got to go to FTNFantasy.com, man. I'm dropping one every single Monday on FTN Fantasy. Rookie prospect profiles, just giving you the information on these guys in a quick 20-minute format, so make sure you go over there. And then if you want to hear me on the podcast, Destination Devi, do more of like some of the younger prospects, you know, 2022, 2023 class guys. I am the co-host of the Fantasy Pros Dynasty podcast, and I also co-host the Breakout Finder on Roto Underworld. So kind of got my hands in a lot of different things, but, you know, it's rookie draft season. So if you want that rookie draft gas, you got to go to FTN Fantasy, check that out, and then holler at me on YouTube, Destination Devi, man.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, your content across all these different platforms is absolutely fantastic. I love the reel that you bring, the passion, everything. I mean, it comes through, whether it's audio, video. I mean, people got to be checking it out, dude.
Honestly, man, a lot of people do this, right? They do this because they think it's some cool hobby. They just jump into it. Like, I love football, man. I played it from a young kid. I was fortunate enough to play against NFL players. I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity to play in college. Like, I truly love this. And I don't consider myself a scout or any of that shit. I just watch the game, man, and I'm just conveying what I see from a lens of a person who got to play in college, man. That's all it is, man. Like, football, stuff that has to be complicated, man. That doesn't mean we're always right, but, I mean, shit, do you really need me to tell you, like, Nick Chubb is good, or do you need to be a professional scout to know that Christian McCaffrey is dope? I mean, it's just watching the game, man. Don't make this complicated.
Well, that's exactly how we're going to lean into Najee, man. Like, it ain't got to be hard, man. I mean, you ain't got to be different and talk about Najee hate. Like, you're not going to get a lot of that here. So, to dive into Najee, looking at his production profile, man, 6'2", 230, last measurables we have on him. Dude is going to be 23 years old, and I know that's going to be a hang-up for a lot of people. Let's get that out the way right now. I do not care that he's 23 going into the NFL. We're playing a lot of these guys for dynasty, first contracts, things of that nature. As long as he gets the, like, top 2 rounds, 3 rounds draft capital, that's fine with me. I do not care that he's 23. But looking at all of his numbers, 70th percentile college dominator, he had a 5.8 yards per carry, and even last year, man, like, he proved a lot of stuff in the pass game. 13% target share. The dude has surpassed 1,200 yards even in the last two seasons on the ground for Alabama. 20 total touchdowns, 30 total touchdowns in this last season. I mean, what is there to say, man? Dude was a five-star recruit coming out. And the more I dove into this dude's backstory, man, I mean, there is quotes from Najee talking about how he was growing up. Dude lived in a car out of a hotel, was homeless, living out of a homeless shelter for a while. These are the kind of guys and the cats that you root for to succeed in life and in the NFL. I mean, Ray, kick us off here. Anything that I have not touched on yet that just pops for you when you look at Najee Harris's production, his resume, walking in as a prospect?
No, I think you touched on a lot of things. I mean, coming out of high school, he's one of the highest rated recruits in the country. So, you know, he's got the high school pedigree playing in California. You know, California, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, some of the best states for producing high-end collegiate talent. Texas talents to Alabama. And I think a lot of people, you know, ideally we would like to see some of these players come in and pop right away, right? Like just boom from true freshman seasons. But you got to remember, his true freshman season, he was sharing a backfield with Damian Harris, with Bo Scarborough, with Josh Jacobs, with Brian Robinson. And oh, not to mention, he had a quarterback in Jalen Hurts that ran the ball as well. So it took a while for him to finally take over that backfield, but it wasn't because of Najee's talent. I mean, Alabama's just loaded, man. It's Alabama. But once he finally got the reins turned over to him in his true junior season, I mean, he blew up and he was dominant. And then this season, coming back for a senior year, to do what he did on the ground through the air in a shortened season, playing an all SEC schedule, no cupcakes on there whatsoever. I mean, you can't do anything but marvel and smile at the production. And again, I don't think it goes without, like, his size is not overinflated. He's all of 6'2", 230 pounds. And to be able to produce the way he did, I mean, he's a man amongst boys, and I'm with you. I don't give a damn about the age 23. Who cares, man? We're talking about if he's drafting in the second round, it's a four-year deal for a rookie. He'll be 27 years old, going on 28. Great. Now, anything on top of that is gravy, man. Najee's going to be a dude that's going to produce right away. He's not going to be one of those running backs that has to work his way into the offense. I mean, an NFL team is going to turn the ball over to that man right away.
I love Najee. I mean, Adam, when you looked at his profile just off the top, man, what popped off the paper for you?
I mean, he almost had a 14% target share at Alabama with that offense. I know Jalen Waddle obviously missed a lot of time, which helped, but, like, I mean, come on, like 30 touchdowns. Like, how do you go from 20 touchdowns in 2019 and say, all right, I'm going to do better than that and score 30. I mean, just, I don't know, man. Like, and the age thing, I've seen a lot of people talk about that with him, but like, he's going to be 23 when he enters the NFL. Travis Etienne's going to be 22 and change. He just turned 22 in January. Like, is it that right. much of it? Like, why is nobody talking about that?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't care about his age. And like Ray said, he gets drafted in the second round. It's a four-year deal. By that time, he's 27, 28. And that's when he finally gets to the point where some people, okay, maybe a running back at that point is starting to be on the downturn of their career. But like, I agree, man. Najee's just kind of a different dude. He's we'll talk about his strengths and weaknesses, but the production was obviously there against great defenses. And for me, like, even against a lot of those great defenses, he kind of made playing the running back position look easy. I know it's going to be different in the NFL, but that's just kind of the thought I had when watching him. It's like he's not even – I know he did some crazy hurdles and stuff like that we'll talk about, but he just kind of made the position look easy for a lot of his career at Alabama.
Well, people want to poke holes and stuff like that and say he's 23 and stuff.
Who Ray cares? Like,
I mean, the first 2 years at Alabama, it's not like they were running his wheels off, man. Like, he's not coming in here with, like, 800 carries in his collegiate career, 600, something like that. Like – the dude is not worn down to the nub. Like, he's going to come in here.
People had
not
that same worry about Jonathan Taylor last year. Like, oh, he got, you know, a ton of carries at Wisconsin. But, like, why is that necessarily a bad thing?
Right.
Man,
right.
Like, you look at Derrick Henry. Everybody keeps – and I'm not comping Najee to Derrick Henry, so let's get that out the way. But to talk about workloads, like, everybody just keeps sitting here and talk about how this dude's going to break down. He's going to break down. nobody remembers. Like, I understand that a lot of these running backs coming out now don't hold up to these workloads. Does nobody remember, like, 10, 15 years ago, these guys were just getting massive, ridiculous, stupid workloads? And I know we don't see that as much these days, but there are still guys that are built to hold up under this, man.
Yeah, and I don't worry about it anyway, but if I were to be worried, I'd be more worried if Najee was just a dude that you give 20 carries between tackles and comes out on passing downs, but he is an incredible pass catcher, so he's going to get swing passes and dump-offs to where he's not taking those, those hits as often. He's getting out in space. So, like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care about the age. Like I said, nobody's talking about Travis Etienne going to be 22 and a half or so when the NFL starts. So, I don't care at all.
And I know we talked a lot about some of his skills so far. I mean, Ray, kick us off here, man. Najee's strengths. When you turn on the film, look at the games, tell me what you see.
I think his most redeeming quality, the best attribute that's going to translate – and I've seen a lot of people, Jordan Reed from the Draft Network, talk about this as well, is his instinctual vision, man. His footwork, his vision, his ability at that size to recognize holes, to set defenders up for moves in tight spaces is unbelievable. I don't believe there's a better running back in this entire class with the vision and footwork that Najee Harris has. I mean, there are times where it looks like there's absolutely nothing there. And then he'll just put his foot in the ground, read the block of his offensive guard, offensive tackle, make a jump cut, set defenders up again in tight spaces at 230 pounds. And his footwork is just incredible. His short area agility, that's his best attribute, in my opinion. Yes, the size is there. He's got the power. He's lethal in the passing game. And I always say this about the receiving game, right? There's a big difference between running backs who catch passes and running backs who can be deployed as a pass-catching weapon. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily look at a 230-pound runner and say he's a pass-catching weapon, but when you look at how Alabama utilized him within that scheme, he did line up in the slot. He did motion outside. He did run choice routes and option routes out of the backfield. He can be deployed as a pass-catching weapon at 230 pounds, and that is a mismatch nightmare when you're talking about you've got these safeties like a Tyrann Mathieu at 5'9", 185 pounds. What's he going to do with a player like Najee Harris in space? So his vision, his footwork, his lateral quickness, his agility, the way that he can be deployed in the receiving game are just they're incredible. He's a fantastic running back prospect.
I love it, man. I mean, that's one of the biggest things. His vision is absolutely fantastic. And you look at how Alabama deployed him. I mean, he ran 49% zone, 51% gap. A lot of those runs where he's just like carving defenses up through the middle. Like, as a guy that's 6'2 and 230, this man should not have this type of nimble feet. Like, I'm watching him just shifty his way through guys 5-10 yards, where I'm just like, damn, man. Like, there are bigger dudes in the NFL that do not have this type of short area quickness. Like, I think his pro day and stuff, his short area times are going to be lit. And his draft capital is just going to go even higher because of that. Like, that's the first thing that jumped off the page of me. And you're talking about routes, dude. He ran a wheel route and then went out and high-pointed the damn ball when I watched him versus Texas A&M. Oh, man. Like, I was just like, holy shit. Let's go. Let's go. You see these things on film and you're just like, this dude's going to ball out as soon as he hits the NFL, man. Like, whether it's – even if – and I talk about this with a lot of running back prospects and guys where I'm like, can you create on your own? Are you going to be more landing spot sensitive? Like, all these running backs, every running back in the NFL is dependent upon their offensive line. It is what it is because you can't truck stick an entire damn defense. I mean, that's just a fact. But you got a dude like Najee – I think that he's got enough juice to run zone. His vision is going to help him out with whatever you're going to talk about. Let's get this out the way. Dude is not slow. I think he's going to run a 4-5, if not better. And so I think he's got the juice to run multiple different schemes, concepts. I think his vision is going to make up for anything that, like, okay, he doesn't run a 4-4. That doesn't matter when you got the type of vision and the burst that this dude has. I think that is going to lend itself to where he is going to be scheme agnostic. And as much gap as he ran in Alabama and they got him downhill fast, I mean, their offensive line was good. but it wasn't like otherworldly, like legendary in seasons past for Alabama.
Right.
So I like a lot of the things that I saw out of Najee. I think that he's going to translate to a lot of different NFL teams where you've got some of these other dudes where it's like, okay, he needs to land in a spot where they're going to be able to get him into space. He needs to go to, like we've talked about, Adam and I have talked about ETN in previous episodes. He needs to, like, I'm like, look, you need to go to a team that's going to run a lot of zone, that's going to get you one cut, get you downhill, like an above average offensive line. I think that Najee can go to a lot of different places and succeed in a lot of different schemes. But am I wrong with that, Ray?
Nah, you're not wrong at all, man. I mean, I think he's landing spot. It doesn't matter. He's not landing spot dependent. I think he's a player that will fit multiple schemes. He can do it all. You know, when you have an ability to your vision, your footwork, you have an ability to make players miss in tight spaces, and you have an ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, I think that makes you sort of indispensable when you're talking about that do-it-all running back. I do believe that there are other running backs in this class. When you talk about an ETN, a Kenneth Gainwell, a Trey Sermon, a Chuba Hubbard is a really good example. You want Chuba in a zone blocking scheme. You want the lineman just blocking one direction and let Chuba make one cut and then, you know, utilize the speed. But Najee, I can see him playing in a power scheme. I can see him playing in that zone blocking scheme, a gap scheme. He can do just about everything. And I think, you know, when you look at Alabama, traditionally, they run sort of pro style over time with the skill position weapons and the dual threat quarterbacks, but they still, their offensive line, they utilize a lot of pro concepts, which I think has helped Najee Harris out. And you see that the first thing you notice when you turn on the tape, besides his damn size, is just how nimble and agile he is. And because of that, I don't care where he lands. I do not care. I don't care where he lands. He's going to be good. He's going to get the opportunity, and he's going to get the draft capital. So he's not landing spot dependent for me whatsoever.
If you were to just turn on the tape, I would not tell you this dude was 6'2", 230. Like, if you just watch him run, he runs like a cat that's like 5'10", 215, 210. And all of this extra size, when you get him in the open field, I mean, good luck trying to bring this dude down. But, I mean, Adam, when you're watching the film, what popped for you, man?
Yeah, it's, first of all, like, with the agility and, like, the footwork that you guys are talking about, like, I think it was the Auburn game. He had a jump cut that he took, like, 40, 50 yards to the house. And I was just like, whoa. Like he's not – I mean, I don't think he's going to be Adrian Peterson, but, like, that jump cut reminded me of AP a little bit. And then he has a legitimate catch radius for a running back. Like, if you're in trouble, like, you're a quarterback, you're in trouble, and you see Najee Harris run kind of like a wheel route, and he's still kind of covered, like, you can legitimately throw it up. I mean, I'm not saying throw it up if he's got, you know, Jaire Alexander or somebody on him or Jalen Ramsey, but, like, he can make plays when the ball is in the air, which is not something you see from a lot of running backs, which was kind of what Ray was talking about. Like, he's not a guy that's like, okay, he can catch passes if it's third down and it's a screen. Like, he will catch passes, and he's somebody you're going to scheme to catch passes. Like, he's that good as a pass catcher. Those were the two things I saw that were the most impressive for me with Najee Harris. And then obviously his size, his strength, his ability to break tackles, whether it's you know, on a carry or after he catches the ball. Like, if he catches the ball in space, like, he's got the footwork to get around you, but then he can also run over you. He's just, I mean, we talk about the word complete back, and Najee Harris is that. Like, he really is.
Yeah, dude, and to give some numbers to context for all of this love we're spending by Najee, second most avoided tackles behind only Javonte Williams in the 2020 class, most avoided tackles on receptions, third in yards after contact total, and dude also had seventh most carries of 15-plus yards, man. So for all the love we've already talked about with Najee, and not to say to poke holes in this man's game, but Ray, if you're looking at any things where Najee can improve on, get better, any weaknesses, in air quotes here, for Najee, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I think the biggest weakness, and it's unfortunately something that he probably can't improve on too much, it is the lack of home run hitting ability, right? You know, there are times where, you know, as soon as, you know, Chris Johnson hit the open field, it was lights out. Travis Etienne in this class, when he hits the open field, it's lights out. We're talking about current NFL running backs, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey. They have that ability to just, like, you know, take 190 to the house. Derrick Henry, you know, even though Derrick Henry is 6'3", 295 pounds of pure muscle, he's got ridiculous speed. I mean, one of the biggest freaks that we've ever seen play the running back position. Najee does not have that type of long distance speed. Karma, however, the NFL game isn't played in 90-yard spurts, right? He's got plenty enough juice in order to take a 40-yarder or a 50-yarder to the house. But, you know, there may be times where he breaks into the open field and pulls an old Uncle Lenny from last year where he's getting ran down after an 80-yard run. But, you know, that's that you're taking the good with the bad. So if I have to say there's anything in his game that is just sort of a weakness, it is the lack of true home run threat ability. He doesn't possess that, whereas other running backs in this class, they do have that.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all with that. And the counterpoint to it, like you're talking about, I mean, dude, give me chunk plays. Give me 15-yard runs. Give me 25-yard runs. Give me 30-yard runs for days. I mean, I we're talking about weaknesses and stuff like that. I don't think that he has that home run speed. Again, I think that he's probably going to come in, run a 4-5. If you're looking at thresholds, that's perfectly fine. But if you're looking for home runs and a guy that could snap off a 60, 70-yard run and take it to the house, unless the blocking is perfect, I don't think it's probably going to be, we're seeing a lot of that out of Najee at the next level. And we talked about all the pass game and stuff like that. I do think that some of his pass pro reps are a little bit of a concern. Now, again, we're talking about, dude, we're trying to poke holes in this man's game. And I think that on most snaps, the dude's going to be running routes and being deployed as a weapon in the pass game for NFL teams. But if we are talking about areas where he can improve and not lose some of these third down snaps, like last year for Alabama, 42 pass blocking reps, he allowed 4 hurries, 5 pressures, and out of 190 running backs with 50 or more snaps, PFF had him at 114 as far as his pass blocking grade out of 190 running backs. It's not great, man, but I think that some of that, Alabama has got a fantastic coaching staff, but I don't think that when we're going to see him deployed at the next level, that a team, at least I hope, and we're assuming some rational coaching here, but I hope that they're going to be letting this man run routes and not leaving him in to pass block on third downs. But it is an area where I think that we're talking about places where he can improve. That's definitely a spot where I think Najee can improve at the next level. Adam, what do you think here?
Yeah, I mean, if you had to choose one, it would be like what Ray said. He doesn't have that elite, just, you know, bounce it outside and he's gone. But I also just don't really care because, like you said, he's probably going to run like a 4.5 40, which, like, speed is obviously something we want, but that's, for me, I only really care if it's going to impact where he get drafted in the NFL draft. Like, if he runs a crazy slow 40, maybe it hurts his draft stock and he doesn't get selected as high as we would like. But as long as he's running a decent 40 and he gets picked in the first two rounds, which he will, and he's on a team where he's going to be the clear running back. How many of these running backs that finish top whatever in fantasy points are 4.3 40 guys? Like, I don't care. Like, so for me, yeah, like if you had to choose one weakness, it would be that. But at the end of the day, like, I also kind of just don't care if that makes any sense. I don't know. Am I wrong for just not caring? Like,
no, I don't think you're wrong, man.
I don't care.
Right.
At all. I mean, it's, did anybody care about James Robinson's 4.6 40-yard dash?
Debro hates James Robinson.
Oh, God. That's why
I brought it up, because I know he did. We had a whole tizzy about him on the trade show a couple of months back. But the point is, he ran for over 1,000. Like, you said it best, Adam. Would we like it if the player possessed that? Sure. But the game isn't played in 40, 50, 60-yard spurts. It's not how the game is played. He's picking up, and I do believe, according to PFF, I think he runs over 15 yards. I mean, he was up there the top in the country. So give me those chunk yards. And here's something that we don't talk about a lot, right? I know touchdowns are not the best metric, right? He scored 26 touchdowns. But the fact that when they're inside the 5, they give it to him and he gets it in the end zone – That's important, right? We saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire week one have 150-something yards, but inside the five, he couldn't punch it in, and then it seemed like for the rest of the season, he didn't get that opportunity anymore. So whatever team he lands on, you could bet your bottom dollar and rest assured he's going to be the goal line back as well and not be removed for vultured TDs. So just having a nose for the end zone is – you want that. Najee is going to punch it in. Inside the five – dude is automatic. So that's another one of those little things that I pay attention to. Like, there's no doubt who's getting it, and he's pushing that pile and getting in the zone.
Well, and his ability in the pass game is going to make him multiple, too. So even if you're going to go with some different looks and stuff like that, if you wanted to motion Najee out or, you know, and utilize him, like, he's a guy that I'm not going to be surprised if he rattles off one of these seasons in the NFL where he has, like, four or five receiving touchdowns as well, man. And that kind of leads us into the comp that I have heard out there a ton for him, and I think that is definitely legitimate, is Matt Forte. Ray, your thoughts there? Like, are you liking that? You loving that? I mean, is it kind of like, I see it, but I don't? Like, where are you at? And comps are dangerous, man, but we're trying to give people at least get them in their mind's eye. If they can't watch the film, who does this guy remind you of?
Yeah, PFF owes me some money, man, because I've been saying that shit for a long time now. Go check the receipts, baby. Go check the receipts. But I got him between a cross of Matt Forte and Steven Jackson. I think he plays – I think he's smooth like Forte. When I look at Forte, he's just smooth. You watch him run, he's just a glider. And Najee just glides, man. He's got long legs and then that jump cut ability and then how he's utilized in the receiving game. But when you watch him in between the tackles and the physicality and the size and when he hits the open field, he really reminds me of Steven Jackson from the Rams, Falcons, and coming out of Oregon State. So if you could splice Steven Jackson with a splash of Matt Forte, in my opinion, that's who Najee Harris reminds me of. And again, check the receipts, baby. I'm team never delete, so that shit is out there. PFF, y'all owe me.
I love it, man. Adam, are you on this? Are you with Forte as well?
Yeah, and I was going to ask Ray, like, with the patience and footwork, do you see any, like, Le'Veon with him? Because they very similar sizes. Le'Veon, like, 6'1", 230. Najee, 6'2", 230. I think Najee's probably more explosive as a runner than Le'Veon, but, like, we're talking about Najee being able to high point the ball, play, you know, not just in the backfield running routes, but all over the formation.
Right. I think I think that would be if he turns into peak Lev, I think that would be, oh my God, that'd be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I do think that Le'Veon's patience is something that I don't think we've ever seen from a running back because it's different, right? Najee's patient in letting his block set up, but he's always kind of going downhill. Le'Veon Bell would literally just kind of stand there.
Yeah, he gets like stationary and just waits.
Yeah. And then his ability to just put his foot in the ground and go. I just don't think I haven't seen anything like that. I know we've seen Saquon try to do that, but Le'Veon Bell would literally just kind of stand there and then let stuff happen and then just go. So I do believe that he does have patience like Lev. It's just, it's different. That running style, I've seen people try to replicate it and it doesn't quite work well. I think it was just a perfect storm of that Pittsburgh offensive line combined with Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger in his prime that allowed Lev to be able to do that. So, yes, I do see the patience of Bell, but he's a physical running back, and that's why Steven Jackson comes to mind for me.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. For me, I feel like people are going to lean into the Forte comp and think about the pass game role for him, and I'm not saying that's wrong. But the thing that I love that I feel like he does what Forte did is that when you give him the ball up the middle, like you're going A, B gap, and the dude is going straight up the middle, like his ability, and that we're talking about the short area quickness, his ability to weave in between dudes and that shiftiness at his size is the thing that I saw on film that I feel like the Forte comp is the closest thing I could come up with him. I went old school. Like I was watching like film from way, way back. Like, the only other guy that like I saw that had the same type of physicality, like I'm not against the Steven Jackson. Like I watched like a little bit of Chris Warren. I watched some Eddie George. I saw a little bit in his running style and his ability to, at his size, get physical with dudes in the open field. And I feel like if he could splice Forte with one of those other guys, then I'm with that as well. Because I definitely, like, I see the Steven Jackson, and I think that he's even more explosive in the open field than Steven Jackson was. Steven Jackson would lower his shoulder and just run over schmoes. And I think that Najee's got that in his bag of tricks, but I've seen that dude, like, spin move in the hole, jump cut in the hole, and like, you're like, oh my gosh, man. Like, how is this guy doing this at this size? It's fantastic, man. And we talked about Le'Veon Bell and what he was able to do in Pittsburgh. Ray, I know we've been out in the streets talking about Pittsburgh. Like, what do you think? You think that's a realistic landing spot for him? And if not the Steelers, where could he go in the draft?
I think Pittsburgh is a realistic spot. They need a running back. James Conner ain't it. We, Lord knows, Benny Snell ain't it. Jalen Samuels, get the hell out of here. And Anthony McFarland, just a scat back if he gets any volume whatsoever. I think Pittsburgh is a landing spot. What's going on in Seattle? You know, what's going on with the Seahawks? Chris Carson, I believe he's a free agent, unrestricted. Maybe they upgrade that running back position with the Najee Harris. The Miami Dolphins, pick 18. The coaching staff got to work with Najee at the Senior Bowl. We know, you know, they need to get Tua some help, and pairing him up potentially with his old college teammate in the backfield in that AFC East would probably be a good bet. The Jets have another pick in the first round. I think the back half of the first is where we can start really realistically looking at Najee coming off of the board. So if I just had to throw some teams out there off the top of my head, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Miami, the New York Jets all seem like fits for a player like Harris.
So, selfishly, I would love the Bills to have him at 30. I'm saying, for fantasy, I don't know if it'd be great, because we know the Bills are going to throw with Brian Daboll back. But they, like, Singletary and Zach Moss aren't close to Najee Harris, and they were terrible as pass catchers last year. But the Jets obviously make sense. Miami makes a ton of sense, like Ray mentioned. I wouldn't mind Atlanta if they somehow traded up, or if he somehow fell to the second round. I think Atlanta would be fun. They're going to move on from Todd Gurley. He could have some passing game work there and be, you know, an immediate 18 to 20 touch back. And then, yeah, Seattle, we got to wait and see. Like, if Chris Carson's not there, do they fully trust Rashad Penny's health over the past couple of years to immediately just say, okay, Carson's gone, you're the starting running back, no questions asked. Wherever he goes, he's what? He's going to be the 101 in dynasty in rookie drafts, most likely. I mean, he's just that good. So landing spot matters a little bit, but whoever takes him, like even Miami, I know a lot of people will say, you know, Myles Gaskin, he really kind of emerged last year. But like, Myles Gaskin's not a player where you say, okay, we don't have to take Najee Harris now. Like, I don't know. I'm assuming you feel the same way, right? Because you think Miami's a good landing spot.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I don't think Gaskin's a guy that, like, did he play extremely well this year and do what Miami asked him and what he needed to do? I'm not hating on the player. Again, like James Robinson, I ain't hating on the player. We're talking about, like, teams addressing the position. I think Miami's not going to bat an eye. Like, I think that back into the first round, if Najee falls there, I think that they could trade up and get him, because they also are picking at the top of the second. So whether he falls to the top of the second or whether they need to trade up, that's a fantastic call. Like, I love the fit to Miami. I love the fit to Atlanta too. Again, another team that is at the top of the second can trade into the back end of the first round and grab Najee if he falls. I think those are probably my top two landing spots, just based off of, with Arthur Smith coming to Atlanta, what they're possibly going to do with that offensive system. Yes, they still have the wideouts, the pass game options, but as much play action as he runs and how his offense is set around all of that. And this is not me making some, like, really lazy ass Derrick Henry, okay, Arthur Smith comparison. This is talking about offensive scheme and trying to alleviate a lot of the pressure off of an aging quarterback like Matt Ryan. You put Najee Harris there and you leave him as an outlet for when he's pressured, and if their offensive line is healthier, hell, if they address the offensive line, they trade out of that where they're at in the top end of the first round, and they address the offensive line and grab Najee to boot.
They had no explosive plays out of any of the running backs last year. Like, so dope to watch Najee Harris there getting
two more just pie in the sky, right? That both these teams have other positional needs, right? But think about him with Kingsbury in Arizona, Kenyon Drake, you know, 16th with Kyler Murray, with Nuke. And then here comes the last one. I'm just throwing it out there. If they don't bring back Uncle Lenny, Tampa Bay sitting down there at 32, like, why not just maximize what Tom Brady has? What if they said, all right, you know, Leonard Fournette, we talk about Atlanta being a spot. Lenny might get him a 2 or 3 year deal, you know, if he doesn't come back to Tampa Bay, which it seems like he is. But if they move on from Leonard Fournette, Keyshawn Vaughn, get the hell out of here. It's a luxury pick. What if they just say, okay, you know, Bruce Arians had his David Johnson with Arizona. Get a player like Najee back there. You pair him with Tom Brady, AB, Mike Evans, potentially. If you know, I'm just throwing it out there. With that offensive line, they've got a strong defense. I don't know how many needs they really have, but
I mean, they've taken like 6 corners over the last 2 years, and now their secondary is kind of just locked in. They're good to go. Like, yeah, they don't have many needs. And Tom Brady's probably like, yeah, let's have a running back that'll actually catch the ball out of the backfield this year. That'd be cool.
If Lenny walks, they do not have confidence in Ronald Jones. I like Ronald Jones. They don't have confidence in Ronald Jones. So, Look, it's a luxury pick. We saw the Chiefs do it last year, and Najee is a better player than Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, scored plenty of points, and then they went, okay, Pat, you want another guy? And they took Clyde. So, like, you think Tom Brady at that point is – I don't see that. That's probably one that nobody's talking about, Ray, because right now, we free agency hasn't started yet. But, like, man, that'd be – I mean, especially if Godwin comes back in free agency, like, yikes.
I mean, I love that call. Absolutely love that call, especially when you look at what Tampa did. And I talked about this over on FTN Daily, like looking at the Super Bowl matchup, man. With Brady having more input and say into this offensive system, like, Arians has never been a guy that's utilized a ton of play action. You saw that jump up, like, week 13 on. And that's why Ronald Jones was not really a thing anymore. Like, why he got phased the hell out. Because the dude has stone hands. Like, he can't catch for shit. And you look at how Najee can fit in that offense. His ability in the pass game, he would step in right there and automatically be a guy that we're talking about Leonard Fournette's usage down the stretch and in the Super Bowl, getting 5 to 6 targets every single game. You would see that on Najee Harris, just based off of what he's able to do in the pass game right now. I love that call. Absolutely love that call, because we're talking about all these different landing spots for him. Tampa's not one that's being talked about, and could they bring Lenny back? Yeah, it could happen. They can also get the newer version, the guy with fresh legs. He's able to take over a game whenever teams are like, okay, we're going to blitz Brady. We know that he folds under pressure. Arians is like, fine, man. We're just going to unleash Najee on you. Like, we're going to give him 25 carries, and y'all just have fun with that. So I love that call, man. Before we get up out of here, Ray, tell the good people out there listening where they can find your fantastic content again, man.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RayGQ. That's Q-U-E. FTN Fantasy every single Monday, rookie profile series that I'm running up until the NFL draft and probably a little bit after that. All of my rankings and all of that good stuff on Patreon, patreon.com/allgas. And then be on the lookout for the Breakout Finder pod on Roto Underworld, as well as the Fantasy Pros Dynasty podcast.
Man, thank you for coming on, Ray. This was fantastic, man. Tons of fun, tons of great content. Adam and I are going to be back next week talking more draft prospect, rolling through these prospect profiles all the way up to the NFL draft. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.